Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us right now, we have our senator from the great state of Florida, Rick Scott, former governor, of course, also a Navy veteran that may become relevant in the course of this conversation. Senator, welcome back to the show, sir.
It's always great to be with you. I bet the weather is better.
I'll take ours over yours for sure, 100%. Obviously, we're going to talk about the Iran war and the Save America Act, but I did want to start with two somewhat smaller things only because I want to make sure we get them in, and I know my habit is they won't get in if I don't make them happen at the beginning. The first one is daylight saving time. Ever since the legislature passed this to go to universal daylight time and not go back to standard time in the winter, we've never had a supporter in the House. You and Ashley Moody and before her Marco Rubio were on board with this. I think Jimmy Patronis is also on board with this. Are we actually going to get this as a bill that states that want to go to universal daylight time will be able to do it?
I'm hopeful. You know, the thing that's going to help us is as states do what Florida did to say they want to go to daylight saving time when the federal law changes. So I think I'm going to keep pushing it. I do it every year. I know Ashley Moody is going to be a good partner on this. Jimmy Patronis says, but, I haven't. The hard thing is, I think if I could get a vote, it would pass. So far it's been able to be blocked. But as more and more states do this, and they're doing it every day, it's going to make it hard for people up here to block it.
It makes sense. If you get enough, build a coalition based on the states that have taken the kind of, action that Florida has done. The other thing I wanted to make sure we got in is the Service Academy nominations. They are open now. So if people want to go to the Navy Academy or the Air Force Academy, this is the time for them to apply to your office, right?
Yep. Go to rickscott.senate.gov. Then you hit nominations and you apply. We probably have more applicants in our state than any state in the country. We'll have 800 applicants. I get to nominate 15 people for each of the academies. It is a life changer. The other thing is when you interview these individuals, these young men and women, you feel really good about the future of your country. But anybody that wants any high school senior or anybody, even if you want to start over again, if you're in college, we'd love to get your nomination because we want the best. The reason our kids typically get in is because we have so many people apply, so we have outstanding individuals. Some House and Senate members don't put the effort into it that we do, and so by doing that, we get really good people.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Given the size of the state and the number of applications, you can vet them more heavily and have more qualified. That makes sense. It's a numbers game. Let's talk a little bit about the Save America Act. It's so fascinating because as somebody who thinks that having an ID to prove that you're a citizen to vote seems like a real no-brainer compared to the things that we require people to have IDs for that are completely nowhere near that level of importance. But, of course, the other side has been saying that somehow married women with married names won't be able to figure this out or that, poor people won't be able to have IDs. I've said, hey, I'll do this. Let's make an ID free. We do a lot of free IDs in Florida. I don't mind giving everybody a free ID and let's just make sure that they're citizens before they vote.
Yeah. People have IDs. I mean, this is just the Democrats, want fraud. I've been up here 7 years, and this is the most popular thing other than maybe daylight savings time. There's nowhere I go in Florida, but the first thing people say is, how are we going to get the Save America Act passed? So we're working on it every day. So here's our pass. It's a simple bill. You have to have an ID to vote. That's pretty simple. You have to have an ID for almost everything else in life. And then you have to show you're American citizen to register to vote. Pretty basic. So we're like 83% of Americans want it. Republicans, Democrats, Independents, it's really popular. So here's our choice. It's one, we got to get 60 votes. That'd be the easiest way. So I tell people, call every Republican and Democrat in the Senate and tell them how important this is to you. Let people know how important it is. That's number one. Number two, maybe we can attach it to a must-pass bill like maybe a defense supplemental, maybe it was Homeland Security funding that's, it's not being funded. Maybe it's FISA reauthorization, something like that. Number three is to do the talking filibuster, which The last time this was really used was the Civil Rights Act. But it's a possibility. We don't have enough votes yet in the Senate to do that. So we're continuing to have meetings to explain to people how it would work. But, this is the most important thing we can pass. If we can't secure elections, then the rest of it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it seems like a very simple thing, and the arguments on the other side, even though I try to take them seriously, I find them, incredibly lacking. So I hope so. And, we've seen John Thune say that he, might be willing to, change his mind on the filibuster for this particular one. Even the president's threatening that he won't sign any bills until this one gets signed. He's doing what you said, attach it to a must-pass bill. If you want me to sign something, pass this, I'll sign this, and then we can talk about other stuff. Huge ongoing news right now is Iran. I have said we were completely justified in doing this. We would have been justified in doing this any time in the history of the current regime in Iran. They are a threat to us, to their neighbors, to the region, nuclear ambitions, all of that. I'm completely on board with the justification for the war and our way of doing it. My concerns have to do with and what next and when next. We're what, 14 days into a 60-day war powers. Do you expect there to be a vote on authorization for the use of force in AUMF for this action? Because if we get to the end of the 60 days, I mean, that's it, right?
No. Every president has been clear. They have the right to use military force without a formal declaration of war. So now the only thing that Congress actually can do is decide if they don't want to fund it. So at the time if Congress decides they don't want to fund what the president's doing, that's the only way. The president has the right to do this. This is every president since Truman has said he has a right. So no, we do not have to have a authorization of force. The president's right to do this, by the way, he had to do it because of where we are. Obama and Biden appeased. Obama gave him cash. They had the uranium to get to a nuclear weapon. So it was a matter of time before we've been attacked on our homeland. On top of that, they're building 100 ballistic missiles a month. And at some point, they were going to overwhelm our troops and our ally Israel. So Trump is doing the right thing. And our military, thank God for our military, they've done a great job. But, fixing the Strait of Hormuz, getting rid of the mines, is going to be hard. That means we're going to have higher gas prices during this conflict. But after that, if the right thing happens, that we get a new regime, and with the oil coming from Venezuela, we'll actually see much lower gas prices. Your heart goes out to the families that lost their loved ones, including Cody Cork in Florida, and the 140 plus people that have been injured. It sounds like all those are minor, but I hope they have a full recovery. But we need to pray for our military, people are willing to put on the uniform and defend our freedom. So I think this is going to be, it's going to take longer than we think, but Trump doesn't want a forever war. We're not going to have a forever war, but we're going to have to continue to see a barrage of drone attacks. As Ukraine has proven, you probably don't win a war with drones, but you can sure cause a lot of damage.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to deal with that. But Trump did the right thing. We need to support him.
The couple of questions that I have, especially after the most recent press conference that General Kane did with Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, he said that the goal of the war is to eradicate their ability to use, to get rid of their drone and missile capability. Check, I'm on board with that. To destroy their Navy, because that's also projection of power, abuse of their authority, and, harming shipping. Check, I'm on board with that. But then he said the goal is to make it impossible for them to rebuild or reconstitute the Navy, the drones, and the missile capability. And that, to me, sounds an awful lot like the Morgenthau Doctrine, from World War II, like make Germany a farming community, basically take away their industrial capacity. That is a huge objective. I don't disagree with the importance of it, because if they're going to continually use machine tools and supply chains and energy and metallurgy and technology to rebuild the factory, basically. But that is, I don't know how you do that with just air power or how you do that for the long term. So what's your theory about how we accomplish something that makes it so they can't keep rebuilding drones and missiles in the future?
Well, I think they do plan on just absolutely destroying their ability through destroying their industrial base. I think they're just going to continue to use the gravity bombs and just keep destroying every every capacity they have. And so then I know Israel wants regime change, and I think Israel is going to continue down the path of destroying their leadership. I haven't seen a classified briefing on this, but there's reports that the new Ayatollah is already injured, but we'll see if that's true or not. You hate death, but this guy his father has been part of killing so many Americans. They've been killing us for decades.
No, totally agree. Yeah.
They've been at war with us for
47 years, and we're finally participating. I completely agree. The question is, do you think the people are capable of forming the sort of, democratic republic, a place that would have individual rights? I know there are people who want to rise up, but when a regime has been that controlled for that long, it's like expecting Cuba to stage a revolution. And they don't have guns. They don't have power. They don't have, for goodness sakes, they don't have the internet for the last 5 days or whatever, Is it realistic to think that the mullahs and the Ayatollah will give up power, that it can be taken from them?
Well, I think that first off, people want freedom. Everywhere in the world, people want freedom. Now, is it hard when they've been pushed down like this and they have no weapons? It has. But the Iranian military has to kill their own brothers and sisters to keep their power. So that's awfully difficult to do long term. So I'm optimistic. I know that the Kurds have an interest because they've been destroyed by the Ayatollah. So we'll see. I don't think any of this is easy.
Yeah.
But I think it's necessary.
Last thing that I wanted to talk with you about is just a little bit, not on this subject exactly, but I know your background. You were in the Navy. You and I were talking before, and I didn't realize what you had done. You worked on radar, back in the day. But I thought you'd find it interesting, given both your age and your Navy connection, the Nimitz is on its last deployment. It's just left Washington the last couple of days. It's going to be deploying to Southcoms, going around South America, and then decommissioning. Basically it'll be 50 years in service, and it seems like a pretty significant end of an era. Any thoughts on that?
It is. The Nimitz, I remember when it started. It was the class ship. Its abilities were unsurpassed. And so, it's interesting. I'm on armed services, and it's interesting. The world has changed a lot. The way war is going to be fought is changing a lot. The Ukrainians have shown us that drone technology and drone defense is going to be really important going forward.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to be very cautious of our ability to defend large infrastructure like an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, agreed. And in fact, some of the sort of dispersal of power, sort of destroyer swarms instead of a carrier, the move towards unmanned and even, autonomous aviation.
Yeah.
We're seeing that in the Navy. I've read some really interesting stuff about the future of the carrier for precisely that reason. And, we're now we're thinking differently about this, right? With, Iran building drone carriers and even threatening a California attack with some kind of, a drone ship or a drone boat or something like that. It absolutely, the high vulnerability of a centralized, mobile airstrip like an aircraft carrier makes you think about the future of what makes sense for the Navy. And you're unarmed, sir. You see this stuff all the time, right?
Yeah, Chief of Naval Operations yesterday, and one of the things we talked about was the fact that, the next, the war, and even we're learning them with this one, we've got to focus on things that we're going to be able to take out drones without expensive missile defense systems,
right?
So, because it's so cheap to build something, and they can swarm you. So there's a good book called I've read a few years ago called The Kill Chain. And it's this idea that, through this drone technology, they can swarm some of our best defenses. And so we've got to be prepared for that.
Yeah, your C-Wiz can do a lot, but it can't do everything. There are limits for sure. Rick Scott, he is our senator from the great state of Florida. Senator, as always, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for the service. I hope you get back to Florida real soon and can enjoy the warm weather instead of being stuck in D.C., although we're supposed to get cold weather on Monday, so be careful what you wish for. Senator, thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Hey, Andrew. Have a good day. Bye-bye.